Good evening, James McCanny here with my Science Hour for September 21st, 2017. A lot of topics to cover tonight, including hurricanes, etc. First of all, there's a lot of misinformation going around about dates in which supposedly end of the, you know, the existence. Anyway, I'm just going to make a general statement. There is nothing that has any truth to it. The only thing you can surmise is that's probably not a good day to go someplace, to a big city or something like that, because that's when all the crazies come out. Anyway, that's all I'm going to say about that. Not going to mention any dates, not going to mention any specifics, because there's just so much misinformation out there. Anyway, if there's something real, let's put it this way, I will tell you here and or on my webpage. And also, you possibly have noticed my webpage now has been updated. I'm deeply involved in some projects and some other activities. And so the webpage has suffered lack of attention. But that should change shortly. Thank you for your patience, and it's just certain things I had to get done. But tonight's main science topic, I'll be talking about hurricanes. As possibly many of you have seen, I've been guest on a number of radio shows recently. Alex Jones a couple times, once with Alex for about an hour. That was the date is announced on my webpage, the date and time. And then yesterday afternoon, I got a somewhat of an emergency call from Alex Jones' show, and I was a guest with Owen Schroeder. And he's one of the mainstay talk show hosts on the Alex Jones show. We had technical difficulties, which were in the studio. It was just, I'm sure it won't happen again, but it's one of those things where they had to change servers, and we got a little discombobulated in the interview. So I did get a little bit of interview in there yesterday with Owen, but we will be on again shortly. I don't have an exact time right now. Also, my weekly show with John Moore, Wednesday morning. I covered quite a few topics, but tonight I want to talk about Hurricane Maria, the devastation of the Caribbean islands. Hurricane Maria devastated the places that Hurricane Irma missed. Now, these are manipulated, controlled storms. They are generated. Now, a lot of people go, well, how can you make a hurricane? It's a big, powerful storm. Well, the way that it is done is by simply enhancing, using what I call trigger mechanisms, to initiate the energy flow that creates the hurricanes. And I use an example. If you were to start a big fire with a little teeny match, the match is the trigger mechanism that starts the great big fire. And so if you have an energy source and you find a mechanism for releasing that, you don't need a lot of energy, you just need skill. There's actually a saying in the Bible, in the New Testament, that you will move mountains. And of course, back in the old days, people go, well, how could you move a mountain? That's impossible. Well, now we know how you can move mountains. And there are techniques for generating earthquakes, volcanoes, etc. So the mechanism for generating in hurricanes and creating storm systems, etc., the understanding for this came from my work that started back at my in the 1970s with my understanding of the electrical nature of the universe and the solar system and planet Earth, that everything we see in weather is electrically related. And you have to understand how this is done. It's very subtle. But we live in capacitors. The vertical electric field of Earth is extremely strong it's like 300 volts per meter, and that's a lot. That's like that's like a tremendous amount. But the air is a dielectric. In other words, a dielectric blocks electrical things from happening. But if you can pierce that dielectric and cause a current path, then current can flow, and that is what creates and maintains hurricanes. This idea that hurricanes are created and maintained by warm water is absurd. Now, let me just, I've been trying to give examples to show people how ridiculous this is, because people are not physicists, they're not thermodynamics educated in most, even up to PhDs, they make a lot of errors, a lot of mistakes in their understanding of mechanical processes. So a hurricane is a very powerful storm. It's a very organized storm. It has an eye. It has a low pressure cell at the base of that eye. And the wind is rushing into that center low pressure cell at, 100 to 200 miles an hour. And a hurricane left without a power source would disintegrate within minutes. Literally within minutes. So let's take a ponder about the concept, which is taught to meteorologists, is repeated hundreds if not thousands of times by meteorologists on television shows, on the news, etc., that warm water, the hurricane is going to go over warm water and it's going to pick up energy, or that there's a eyewall reconfiguration and it could gain energy. That's actually where the laser satellites are doing its work. But let's just take the concept that warm water creates anything. Okay, when water evaporates, that's what cools the water, the ocean water. So when you see a hurricane moving over the ocean, if you measure the water temperature before the hurricane passed and after the hurricane passed over the water, the temperature would drop by a little bit. And that is caused by evaporation. In other words, the energy difference that you see is because the wind is blowing on the water, it evaporates water off the surface of the ocean, and it cools. Now, it's a cooling effect. Let's take another example. You get a hot cup of coffee or tea, and you sit down, and it's steaming, and you want to drink it right away. So what do? You blow on it. You create an artificial wind with your breath. You blow on the cup of coffee or tea, and you see more steam coming off of the cup, and that cools it down. Okay, do you see a hurricane forming on the top of your cup? No, of course not. That's ridiculous. The loss of temperature is a cooling effect because you're taking off the hottest, on the top of the cup is the hottest part of the water. The portion of the water that is hottest goes to the top. You blow off and it creates steam by creating the air passing across that evaporates the water off the surface, and it cools your cup of tea. But is there any energy left to create 150-mile-an-hour winds? That's the question, and the answer is no. Where does the energy come from to create 100, 150, 200-mile-per-hour winds off of warm water? It's absurd. This is a side effect of the wind blowing across the ocean, where it cools the ocean a little bit. But if you look and see the energy equation and try and calculate the energy in the hurricane, which is enormous, so it's like equivalent of a couple nuclear bombs. Tremendous amount of energy, and somebody's telling you that this happens because water evaporates off the surface of the ocean and the water cools a little bit? No, this is absolutely absurd. Secondly, to organize the storm, now this is thermodynamics 102, the first little lesson there was Thermodynamics 101. The organization that occurs in a hurricane, you have a low-pressure cell. How does warm water create a low-pressure cell that is maintained with 150-mile-an-hour winds pouring into it? Well, there again, this is ludicrous. This is absurd. So this entire idea that warm water creates hurricanes is a scientific, it's not scientific. I mean, there could not possibly be any truth to this. Now, let me just step back a little bit. I know well-trained physicists, engineers, etc., and I present this to them, and even those people have a little bit of trouble understanding this. This is not within the realm of knowledge of your average person or even scientist. So you would have to set people down, and what I do in my work, I'm not tied to government contracts. I'm not told what to do or say by news media or National Weather Service or the National Hurricane Prediction Center. So I realized a long time ago that comets could not be dirty snowballs. You just look at the facts. Comets could not possibly be dirty snowballs and see all of the effects. But the scientists I know are told what to say. And so similarly, tornadoes, hurricanes, cyclones could not be powered by, they say that tornadoes are powered by two cloud systems rubbing together and it causes a vortice. And it, no, the majority of tornadoes we see come directly out of a single cloud. There's no two clouds moving sideways or anything. Tornadoes are similarly caused by electrical currents. And that's why when you see a tornado, and people who have been close to tornadoes, they smell the ozone, they see the electrical activity like lightning lighting up in the, if you see them at night, you can, they light up like a light bulb. And there again, those are the electrical currents in the hurricane. So end result, the concepts that are brought to you by National Weather Service or universities, meteorology, and they teach this. They teach this to thousands of people in universities. They listen to it. They write it down. They get an A on a test for bad science, for regurgitating things that could not possibly be true. Let me just throw in another one just for good measure, plate tectonics. You have all read about plate tectonics, how plates move around the planet, and that there once was supposedly a great continent called Pangaea. Is that what it's called? And all the continents supposedly were hooked together, and then they separated. Now we have North and South America hooked together, with, and then there's the Africa. And the assumption is that all this happened just on Earth, all by itself. Only problem is, where is the force that moves entire continents around the globe? You don't find that in the textbooks. The idea that the plates move against each other just naturally is ridiculous. To move things in physics, you need force. You need reactionary forces. And for every force, there's an equal and opposite reactionary force. So where are the forces that move continents around the globe? Well, they show pictures of one continent subduction moving under the other continent moving up over the other one. But there again, the movement that's going on is a result of Earth having catastrophic jolts, gravitational jolts, because a massive celestial body came by. And in the case of Earth, it's happened many times. So space is very active. There are very large objects that occasionally come by Earth. They don't collide into Earth. And the shaking, the movement of the continental plates in those times, that's what makes them move. And then there's a relaxation period. in which they move and adjust. And if something moves down here, something has to move and adjust up here. So we find that, for example, with the Mexican earthquakes a number of weeks ago, now we see a major earthquake next to Mexico City. But once again, these are very suspect earthquakes. The three earthquakes that were down off of Chiapas, southwestern Mexico, in the Pacific Ocean a number of weeks ago, there were three 8-point-something, 8-point-whatever earthquakes in succession, exactly when Mexico made an announcement that they would help Houston because of the devastation in Houston. So you see the geopolitics occurring at the same time as these so-called events. And of course, as soon as Mexico had the earthquakes, they were no longer in a position to help anybody because those earthquakes were felt as far as Mexico City. The earthquake this past week, if you saw the videos, very devastating. And so you have Mexico City, 20 million people standing in the street waiting for the next one to hit. A listener pointed out that there is a lack of aftershocks in the Mexico City earthquake. Now, 32 years ago to the day was when the major earthquake hit Mexico City. And so that seems very suspect. Also, the timing. Now, dates are very important to the people that manipulate Earth. And they pick dates. They pick dates like 9/11. They base them on prime numbers. And so I'm not going to say any more about some of the predictions that have been coming around about end of the world, etc. But you do see, again, that issue of prime numbers being involved in the dates. My very last interview with Pastor Peter Peters, before he passed away a number of years ago, my very last interview was, he was doing his series on DC sorcery, that video that's available on his webpage, Scriptures for America. And my last interview with him was dealing with prime numbers and how prime numbers are used in the planification of events. And so 9/11, also the May 11th, 2014, or was it 2011, the tsunami that caused the problems at Fukushima, was a staged event. The tsunami did not cause the destruction of Fukushima. The tsunami was, if you see the real videos of the tsunami, they were a series of waves that came in very slow, and they just washed in and they washed out, and they really didn't do any damage. They were not the cause of the reactors blowing up at Fukushima. The Fukushima reactors were blown up with explosives. And once again, you see the dates, they are handpicked ahead of time. And in that case, in Fukushima, we know it was Mossad. Mossad of Israel blew up the reactors at Fukushima. And what we're seeing also is anyone who corroborates with Iran or Iraq or any of the other Arab nations, especially dealing with nuclear power, then they get hit. They get hit. And so that was the case at Fukushima. But the problem is the after effects devastate the entire world. The entire world is devastated by Fukushima, the Pacific Ocean, and the tremendous amount of radioactivity that's pouring into the environment. The Japanese government did not do anything. The U.S. government did not do anything, which is typical of the U.S. government. So they could have gotten groups in there to resolve those problems, to clean up the mess, to cool down the reactors, and now it's in China syndrome. So at any rate, let me get back to the hurricanes. Hurricane Maria did devastation on Puerto Rico. I just talked to some people regarding the devastation in Puerto Rico. and it literally destroyed the island. The San Juan, it's announced that they may not have electricity. This is in the major metropolitan area, northeast Puerto Rico and San Juan. They may not have electrical power for a period of 6 months. So what are these people going to do? And living out on the island or up in the mountains or in the coastal towns, everything has been destroyed. This is weather bombing. In fact, a hurricane probably does a lot more damage than if you simply dropped one or two nuclear bombs on the island. I'm serious. The water and the wind is so penetrating that it doesn't leave a square inch untouched. So what are these people going to do? They've tried to evacuate the Caribbean islands that were devastated with Irma, and the people refused to leave. When I was on Alex Jones, he announced that in the Virgin Islands, they picked up the guns before the hurricane came so that the people would be unarmed. And we really don't know what's going on in these places. We don't know what's going on in Puerto Rico. There could have been squads going out, picking up people and moving them into, say, off of the island or whatever prior to the hurricane. But where are these people being taken? We don't have any record of what's going on. And we know from Houston, we know from Katrina in New Orleans, and we know from Florida that a lot of people ended up in FEMA camps. We don't know what is happening to these people. And so what I was attempting to do, and I will attempt to do, continue, is to get this information to people who can sort this out and have the power to go in and find out where they're taking these people and what's going on. But this is, to me, the major problem in these devastated areas. Houston was a major devastation, and you know, the United States could help. Florida had was not as damaging as it was supposed to be. Hurricane Irma was designed and moved to destroy Florida, and it failed. I talked about that before, that it was, they tried to bring it into Florida, and they, because of the sand banks, the offshore, the hurricane kept shorting out, so it dumped all its water. It was a dry hurricane, and it should have dissipated at that point, but they kept driving it and driving it up the coast, trying to destroy Tampa and bring the storm surge in on the east side of Florida, and it failed. All of that failed. So Florida, although there was a lot of damage, a lot of the people have gone back there. And a lot of the people never left because they don't trust the government. I happened to be in Florida visiting when Hurricane Irma was coming. So I was part of the evacuation. If you heard my show 2 weeks ago, I was giving it live as I drove through Atlanta during the evacuation. Took 8 hours to get through Atlanta because they were evacuating the coastal cities of Savannah and the other coastal cities of Georgia. All of that traffic was converging with the traffic from Florida, millions of people coming out of Florida at that time, all converging on Atlanta at the same time. And the governor of Florida, what a complete idiot. I gave an example on a radio show the other day that say you had an airplane disaster, and you are trying to get the people in a hurry out of the airplane. And the equivalent of what they did in Florida is to get the people out of the back of the plane first and make all the people in the front of the plane wait. And when it became inevitable that everybody had to get out of the plane in emergency, everybody converges into the aisle at the same time as this wave of people coming from the back of the plane try to leave. Now, you can all understand that this is not the way to evacuate an airplane. Florida is very similar. It's like a tube. And so what they did, the moron governor, instead of evacuating the northern counties first, getting them out of there, and then resupplying the gas along the freeways, he sends the southern counties out first. And then when the announcement came out, and they said there's an emergency, the hurricane is coming, Hurricane Irma, everybody went out and filled up their tanks and emptied out the gas stations. And there was no effort to get gas back into those areas. All the way, this is all of Florida. It's in a state of emergency, and the moron governor made no preparations to get gasoline into those regions. So you had bumper-to-bumper traffic, stop and go, and there's no evacuation plan in all of Florida. They did not use the back roads, which should have all been turned into one-way roads, getting the people out of there. And even today, even after this, they have no evacuation plan. Anybody on the east coast of the United States or around the Gulf of Mexico or along the California coast, all of those population centers must have evacuation plans. And, you know, it's just absurd. In fact, knowing that Yellowstone volcano could possibly blow into a super volcano, that's another thing I've been stating. They have to get the lake out of Lake Yellowstone. They have to drain the lake. On my webpage, I show how to do that. The southeast sector of the lake, there's a natural channel. It just has to be dug out and then opened up and let all of that lake drain out. It would happen in about 6 hours. You drain the lake of Yellowstone out in, it would go down into the Scablands of Oregon, would not do any devastation at all, and would prevent a super volcano. But you cannot get the government idea that came out of NASA was to take and build another reservoir to collect more water and then start pumping it into the super volcano under high pressure. Now, that would guarantee that you would have a volcanic super volcano explosion, and it would take out most of the United States. Literally, it would damage, it'd probably be the biggest super volcano explosion in the history of the planet, at least over the last 10 million years, and devastate the entire northern hemisphere and cause a nuclear winter. Which it would cool down and destroy the breadbasket of the United States that's used for growing food. You know, it would, which is possibly one of the world's greatest supplies of food. So, no, it would destroy not only the United States, but eventually pretty much the whole world. There would be small pockets of civilization, of cultures that would survive. But this would cause a ripple, a domino effect in the governments of smaller countries, and they would simply go into chaos because all countries depend on shipping, on transportation, on food from the United States, and the economies that are linked to the United States. So the world population would be reduced from 7 billion down to possibly less than a billion in within a year, probably sooner. So that can all be prevented, but you have NASA proposing that you should pump water into the magma of the supervolcano, which would guarantee the biggest explosion on the history of the planet. The three major eruptions at Yellowstone occurred when there was a lake there. That's when the caldera moved in from Idaho. It used to be in Idaho, and it's been moving, the hot spot under the ground for the Yellowstone volcano. There have been three major eruptions in history. There have been probably 20 eruptions, but three of them major eruptions. I have all this information on my webpage. And the three major eruptions occurred when there was a lake there. So, you know, add one plus one plus one. And now we're heading into a potential fourth extremely large volcanic blast because there's a lake at Yellowstone. So at any rate, what I'm trying to put together in this show is the fact that the people in authority have to sit down and listen to what I'm saying, we have to find out who's been manipulating these hurricanes, and it's definitely the U.S. within the United States military. So there is a deep state U.S. military that has control of these. And when I was on with Owen Schroeder, his name is Owen Schroyer, Alex Jones show, I said on the show, I knew I just had a minute. He said, what's going on here? I said, this is being done by the deep state, and we have to find out who is doing this. And the reason is because the people of the United States are gaining control. They're winning back their freedom, and that is not exactly what the basically the globalists or the New World Order, the European bankers, the CIA, which is their police force, and the agencies, the deeply embedded agencies of the U.S. government, that what their plan is for us. The plan was to have Hillary Clinton elected and take down the United States the rest of the way, the part that Obama failed to do. Remember, Obama failed in many respects to accomplish New World Order goals. And so Hillary was going to come in, and all of you that disagreed would be going to happy camp, maybe never coming out if you disagreed too much. And those that were re-educated in happy camp would then come back out as useful worker bees in society. And with flooding the country with illegal aliens, with ISIS, and she would have had a no-fly zone in Syria, we would have been at war with Russia. You know, this world would be a very different place if she would have been president. But luckily, the American people came out and voted in such numbers. Now, remember, I did a study on voter cheating, and the end result is she got at least 17 million votes by cheating and still lost. So that means the American public came out and voted en masse. I was in a restaurant last night, and just in a restaurant, overhearing conversations of people next to me, and everybody was talking about how good Trump was doing. And so, sure, I don't agree with everything he does, but he has a lot more insight into what's going on than I do. But what I'm telling you is all the people around me were, because they had CNN on, and it was the CIA candy nugget news, and the people were commenting in all of their comments. They didn't believe a word that CNN was saying. And also, I just got a kick out of this, a little side note, that the Emmys, which is hosted by, what's his name, Colbert, or the New York businessman-looking guy at late-night TV talk, or what do you call it, late-night show, their ratings are zero. Nobody watches them anymore. And so these people are living in their own little teeny world, and it is little and teeny. But the people out here, these were elderly women, these were elderly men, these were young people, and they were all commenting against what CNN was trying to promote on TV, this constant, Russian narrative, and, oh my goodness, 11 years ago somebody did something. But, it's just creating news out of thin air and trying to, the people don't listen to it. But they almost stole the election. But the people came out in such numbers that they beat the cheating that would have beaten any other candidate, the level of cheating that was going on in the federal election. But the end result is, because of that, that's why this devastation is going on. At Houston, they were supposed to, Hurricane Irma was supposed to destroy Florida, and the hurricanes now, I don't know why they're destroying these islands, but it's very clear they want these islands cleared off, they want the people out of there, and they want to come in and rebuild, and then they will come in with the technology that will steer hurricanes away from these locations, and there will be a paradise for the New World Order. That's what's going on. And the people there are not leaving. Florida was not destroyed. Florida was not cleared out. And so they have a problem. It seems like everything they try to do, they fail at. And we have to see what's going to happen with Hurricane Maria after it passed over Puerto Rico. And I spent a good deal of time in Puerto Rico. I was in a hurricane in Puerto Rico. I believe it was around the fall of 1975. There was a major hurricane that went off the north end of Puerto Rico. I was about 90 miles away, and it devastated the island. The rain especially devastated the island because it's all hills, it's mountainous, and you get 2-3 feet of water coming down a mountainside. It just washed everything away that was in its path. But the island recovered. But this hurricane went right over the top of it. And so I don't know what these people are going to do. My guess is they're going to try and evacuate people and basically reclaim this island for the New World Order to move in. And so they destroyed Cuba, Dominican Republic. Nobody talks about Haiti anymore. But Haiti got hit also with Hurricane Irma. Hurricane Maria is now heading west over Dominican Republic over the same path that Irma had, and then they say it's going to swing north into the Atlantic, where it appears that it will dissipate and go away. Hurricane Jose is still, after making its second loop-de-loop in the North Atlantic, completely controlled, is heading, it's unsure where this is going to go. They keep predicting that it's going to go north and out of harm's way, but really there's no way of knowing it this time if it's going to go farther west and make landfall. But still, that's another good question. At this time of year in the North Atlantic, where is the warm water that's fueling Hurricane Jose? It's just an absurdity. So once again, a controlled, manipulated storm. Okay, I'm going to divert a little bit here, a topic I want to cover tonight, the Cassini mission at Saturn. Oh my goodness. NASA claims that it crashed the Cassini mission, this billion-dollar mission that's been there, I think, for about 10 years, orbiting Saturn, collecting data. And I've talked about that before, how that's been misguided. And the information brought back has been totally misguided, how real science could have been done with that satellite. But NASA announcing that last Friday, it crashed this spacecraft into Saturn. And the reason, now listen to this. Let me preface this by saying, NASA has polluted space outside of Earth. There are hundreds of thousands of bolts and pieces of shrouds and spacecraft and satellites and space junk orbiting planet Earth. It's the biggest garbage dump around, and it's orbiting Earth. It's an absolute disaster, and they have data banks of this. But it also prevents other people from going into space and having a good experience. And so it'd be like going into the North Woods to go camping, and every place you go, there's beer cans and pop cans and pop bottles and candy wrappers and coolers that are, smashed and sitting there. That's the equivalent in outer space. So NASA has polluted the you-know-what out of outer space around Earth. Their reason for crashing, and I'm going to tell you right now, they didn't crash this into Saturn. The spacecraft is still there. And who's going to say it isn't? Who is going to say it isn't? Nobody. Who has equipment out by Saturn to see this thing? Nobody. So we don't know, and of course NASA is never a straight answer. They lie. The lies come off their lips like Johnny B. Good. Anyway, the reason that they gave, and they have this lady on there, And, you know, she's just a stooge, like all the people that they put up from NASA, saying, oh, we want to keep space pristine. So we have to crash this spacecraft into Saturn so that we don't pollute outer space with space junk. Now, first of all, Cassini has plenty of life left. They're down to a smaller amount of fuel, which is positioning fuel to make it reposition. But, you know, within 10 years, we could be up there and reload those. And this spacecraft is perfectly good. All the sensors, all the hardware, everything is perfectly good. Everything is working 100%. And those do not rely on the propulsion systems, which could be reloaded at some point. And so what they're saying is they're crashing it into Saturn because it is space junk. And they don't want it. NASA is just so conscientious that they don't want to pollute space. This is the only thing around Saturn. It's the only man-made thing. So are they really that concerned about polluting space around Saturn that they crashed this spacecraft, a billion-dollar spacecraft that's still good, into Saturn? No. This is going black ops. That's what's happening to Cassini. Cassini is not crashing into Saturn. It's still there. It's still going to be doing a lot. And I suspect they might even be manning a mission to go out there, come up to it, reload or attach new retro rockets onto it for positioning. And that satellite will continue to be a black ops satellite because it can monitor the planet Saturn. Do you think for 1 second that the U.S. military or the black ops or the skunk works or whatever you want to call them are going to take a billion-dollar satellite and torch it because NASA is worried about polluting space? I mean, boys and girls, first graders, kindergartners, you know, of the universe, does this make sense? Does this really make sense? Of course it doesn't. It's a lie. NASA didn't crash this spacecraft. It's going black ops. It'll continue to collect data for the you know, the New World Order and the scientists that work for them that are owned by them, and it will continue to function into the distant future. So just want to let you know that. Oh, I tell you, it just doesn't end. It just doesn't end. I was a guest this week with James Fetzer, I should say, on The Raw Deal. It's his radio show. The show was far too short, an hour and a half, and we were just getting into some topics. The show ended, but I encourage you to listen to that interview. That was on Tuesday night, the 19th, yeah, and it's called The Raw Deal, James Fetzer. And I'm not sure his webpage, it probably has the link there, etc. But I got some interesting commentary from high-level people after that show. A lot of people listen to James Fetzer's show. And so, anyway, if you get a second to check that out, we're talking about the hurricanes, the manipulation of hurricanes, the population devastation, and of the Caribbean islands, because that's where Hurricane Maria had just devastated. The fact that Hurricane Maria took out the islands that were not affected by Hurricane Irma. So it went south, they drew it south, perfect hit over Dominica and the southern islands, and then swung it north into Puerto Rico for like a complete strike, if you're talking in bowling terms, a complete strike on Puerto Rico and complete devastation of that island, complete devastation of Puerto Rico. I don't know what those people are going to do because they're not going to have electricity. There's no food source. Everything has been destroyed. And nobody's even talking about this. A few days after, you know, with the hurricane going right over, a lot of the trees, even up in the mountains, would be blown down. You might have, you know, avocados or oranges or naturally occurring fruit trees, bananas, devastated So those people are going to be very hard-pressed to survive there for a long period of time. Back in the 1950s, they had a program. It was a government, U.S. government program, when they opted to bring Puerto Rico closer in under the arms of the federal government, Operation Bootstrap, in which they got refrigerators, televisions, so they could feed the people propaganda, and other appliances, and bring electricity into the houses, so that the people basically at that point were living off the land, for the most part, out on the island, and living in very, very dire conditions. And of course, that was the epoch too, where there was a vast movement from Puerto Rico to New York City. And the resulting, the West Side Story, Elmer Bernstein, with the musical score, the tremendous Broadway hit of West Side Story, very real. And so, that was really what it was like. But the Puerto Rico, they moved into New York City in large numbers, and of course a lot of them stayed. But recently Puerto Rico, and I've had people that were just there reporting back, I was there myself a number of years ago just visiting, but Puerto Rico was a very poor island, very dire economic straits, and the government just went broke. And remember that the IRS is housed there. Now, why would the IRS be housed in Puerto Rico? Because it's a protectorate. It's a commonwealth, which is an old British term, if you don't remember. A commonwealth was just listen to the word, common. So the commoners lived there, the people that were owned by the Queen and the King of England. The commonwealth, in other words, the wealth of the whatever it was, just like Canada. The Canadians are owned by the Queen. And all the land. You heard the term in Canada, the Queen's land. Well, yeah, everything is owned by the Queen. People simply live there as subjects to the Queen. So the United States did the same thing to Puerto Rico. But interestingly enough, that's where the IRS resides. And as a result, they don't have to pay taxes there. Isn't that interesting? If the IRS were officed in any of the 50 states, they would have to pay taxes because they're not a federal agency. They are a private collection corporation for the World Bank. So when you pay the IRS your money, when they send you forms under the contract that you signed to be subject to their rules, which are made and enforced by Congress and by the courts of the United States, when you do that, you are paying into the debt interest of the United States. You're not supporting your fair share of the military or anything else. You're simply paying off the 20-some trillion-dollar debt interest, and then next year they loan money to the United States and hand it over to the Congress, who bequeath their constitutional directive. And remember that the reason they shot John Kennedy, the CIA headed by George Bush Sr., George Schiff, is because he was doing away with the Federal Reserve and the IRS and the police force for them, the CIA. Anyway, that was their response to that little operation. And so clearly sending a message to anybody that wants to defy their existence and authority. But when Hurricane Irma went around very far north of Puerto Rico and swung back south, I thought, they spared Puerto Rico because that's where the IRS is. I actually said that on the air. But the Hurricane Maria, and isn't that an interesting name? Why didn't they have a K or an L? Because Hurricane Irma was the last major storm. So you had the JKL storms, which were, Jay was Jose, but they called the storm Maria. Do you think that could possibly have been planned? Maria from West Side Story. And Hurricane Maria is the one that destroys Puerto Rico. Do you think that possibly could be associated with some planning? Think about it. So definitely Hurricane Maria, a planned storm to destroy Puerto Rico. And that's why I was confused with this, because they spared Puerto Rico with Hurricane Irma. But maybe they wanted that association. Maybe this is their way of having fun or something, some distorted, bizarre way of, a Dr. Strangelove who are manipulating these storms. Okay, I just want to make a couple quick comments. On my webpage, on the sales page, I still have a 10% sale on the water filters. And I want to spend a few minutes encouraging people to look at the whole house filters. Now, the whole house filters are something I want to promote. And when you get into your shower and you turn on the water, from the, say you have city water, or even if you have well water, the city water especially has fluoride, chlorine, and that turns into a gas very quickly. It comes out of the water, the hot steam, and you're literally breathing this for a period of what? 3 to 5 to 10 minutes, depending on how long you're in that shower stall. This is, cancer has just taken over as the number one killer in the United States. And this is why. Because you are breathing in, you got your kids in there. It's affecting their DNA, their reproductive capabilities. And you're breathing in this air that has chlorine in it, etc. When you wash your clothes, the chlorine in the water gets in the clothes. When you think you're rinsing your clothes with water from this chlorinated or with fluorine, that is absorbed into the cloth. When you dry the clothes, it's in the cloth. So you put that on, you're wearing the clothes, it gets into your skin and, your socks, your underwear, your jeans, your dresses, all of your clothes have that in it. So it's like if you sweat, it's all of a sudden, especially, that is being absorbed into your skin. That's why cancer is taking over in the United States as the number one killer in place of heart disease. So people are dying younger. People are dying of cancer. And that is one of the major reasons. So that's why I'm encouraging people to think about, go to my webpage, go to the sales page, just click on the link down at the bottom of the water filter products. You will find the whole house filters. And what you have to do is just send in an email to the JMCC or you can just send me an email. Just say, help me pick out the right product for my house and we'll help you out. It's jmcc@jmcanniescience.com. And so once again, that's jmcc@jmcanniescience.com. And McCanny is McCanney. So once again, that's, and this is on the webpage. Just go to my webpage, jmccsci.com. And right at the very top, there's a little discussion about the water filters. But go to the sales page, click on the sales page link, and scroll down and read about the whole house filters. They're on sale right now with 10% off, with 10% off on the filter packs. And I'm going to be posting a sale. So go there and look. I'll probably be bringing these down. I think they're right now at $600 for the replacement filter packs for the MR5. And the MR9, which is the bigger unit, also has a sale price, I think, of $750 for the replacement packs when you buy them with the water filter. And so that's a very great savings And by the way, these things last. The MR5, the smaller unit, lasts for 50,000 gallons, and the larger unit for 100,000 gallons. So these last a very long time. So you're not replacing filter packs frequently. You probably every 8 months or 12 months replace the filter pack. These go right in your basement along with your water softener, etc. If you have a water softener, you would have the water go through that first. Then you'd pass it through this whole house filter. And also if you have a farm where you have organic chickens and for horses, for animals, any type of animal, you want them drinking filtered water. And so these units are commercial. These are commercial grade, high flow rate, 5 gallons or 7 gallons per minute, I'm sorry, for the smaller one, and 9 gallons to 12 gallons per minute for the larger one. And like I say, the filter packs are available there. They're on sale. Many people have been buying 2 or 3 filter packs at the same time. And so they're set for a long, long period of time. And these are the best units. The filtration is equal to my other GF filters. And so I'm very proud to have these in my product line. There's nothing else like it. Nobody else has anything like this anywhere. There's simply no product like this. And so you can you don't have to have any other filters in your house. This is a whole house filter. So for washing clothes, for showering, for the kitchen, for the bathroom, and amazing product. And remember that my other products are available there. The stainless steel filters, we're getting ready to ship those, so people have been ordering those. The Traveler is coming in stock. We'll be ready to ship those shortly. And so those are available to order now. The buttons there are on my webpage, sales page for the Traveler, for the Kitchen Standard. And by the way, since I've been traveling, I've been using one of my 2-liter travel filters. And believe me, this don't leave home without one of these. The 1 and the 2-liter travel filters, they're just amazing. Able to run a kitchen, a full kitchen, with the 2-liter. It has 1.5 gallon storage capacity. Also on the webpage there. So anyway, a little bit of promotion here. But I'll tell you something. A lot of people in Florida, the first thing in Florida during the evacuation, everybody went out and filled up their tanks with gas and bought the water off the shelves. Now, how many of those people have water filters? Not enough. It's time to get a water filter. And the first thing in an emergency is you would take your water filter off the kitchen sink or from the bathroom. So remember the webpage, jmccsci.com. This is Jim McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.